Sir, we've had a little problem. These two women are just arriving. They objected to giving up their weapons.
Klingons do not surrender their weapons.
Who are you?
We are Lursa and Bator of the House of Duras.
Hello and welcome to the Duras Sisters Podcast. We are not Klingons, but we are sisters. And I'm Rihanna.
And I'm Ashlyn.
And today we are discussing Star Trek Enterprise finale. These are the Voyages. As you can tell, Rihanna, me is Rihanna, is starting out the pod today because our dear Ashlyn is feeling a little sick, has a little bit of a sore throat and cough.
Yeah, it's not so much sore throat as in mucus coating
congestion,
the inside of my head. And this has kind of been going around Southern Virginia because the cherry blossoms in DC and down here are like going crazy.
Wow.
And the pollen is out of control. So I'm thinking it's like a pollen takeover and I caught a little bug. But Rihanna, thank you. I just felt like I didn't have the dynamic ranges to do the intro today. And I had to blow my nose. So thank you to everyone tuning in. You can hear my dulcet tones this afternoon.
She called me this morning. She was like, hello. I'm like, who is this strange man? So happy that you're powering through and appreciate it, because I know it's not the most fun to be recording a podcast while your voice isn't feeling well.
Yeah, but I was so excited to do this recording today, and we have such a busy schedule coming up. I knew that it would mostly be a lot of laughter today.
Yes.
So it was something that I could show up to not feeling 100%, because this would push me over the top to feel even better.
You know, yeah, I gotta say, there's something very exhilarating about starting the intro. I've never done it in my life, so I was just feeling very, like, powerful. You feel very like, wow, I'm really starting this whole thing.
I mean, you are setting the tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to do your podcast.
I was listening to the dear Hank and John, the newest one from yesterday, and Hank, he's like, hello and welcome to Dear Hank and John. Like, he went so fast, and I was like, okay, here we go.
Yes, yeah. He always does, you know, he's just like, oh, and you're like, whoa, yeah. Hank is
like, is this Animal Crossing?
Oh, wow. So, Ashlyn, you were talking about how busy we are coming up this week. That is in part to the Discovery Festival. The Last Days of Disco Farewell Tour is starting this Thursday. Yes, that's right. This Thursday, the 28th. I can't believe how quickly 2024 has gone. We are already so close to the festival, which means we are extremely close to the start of Discovery Season 5. This is what our podcast festival, along with Strange New Pod, we are hosting in order to send Discovery off in a blaze of glory, basically.
Yeah, and you know who's going to be joining us for this farewell tour, Rihanna? We have Star Trek Pod, Salon Trek, BQN Podcast, Trexperts Quiz, Prominence Merchants Podcast, Captain's Quadrant, Yum Yum Pod, Brides of Chaotica, I Quit Star Trek, and yet another Star Trek Pod.
Wow.
This is a true festival.
Yes. Thank you all so much. So please tune in this Thursday and throughout the rest of the week as we get ready for April 4th, which is the dropping of Star Trek Discovery Season 5, the final season. And we're actually currently watching Season 4 on our watch-alongs every evening. That is just so exciting because Season 4 is, we have literally been doing these watch-alongs since Season 1. And we're already at Season 4. We're already so close to the start of Discovery Season 5. So if you're wanting to catch up, if you haven't seen Season 4 yet and are trying to catch up before Season 5, this is a great way to do it. We're watching an episode every night, so it's a pretty good pace. We literally just say 1, 2, 3, go. You click on your end. We click on ours, and then we chat. It's just like live texting a friend, but you have so many Star Trek friends. So it's just wonderful. I really appreciate everyone who has joined so far. We give out a sticker every night in a little raffle. So it's just very exciting. I'm actually designing a Discovery sticker right now for Season 4 giveaway. So keep an eye out for that. I will be posting about it. But This is just really exciting, and Discovery deserves all the love, all the attention, especially as it was so unfairly canceled, and as we're talking about finales that like are kind of canceled unfairly, as we will today, as we've talked about with TOS and TAS. So Ashlyn, I'm just really thrilled to dive into this episode, but we need a friend. We cannot not go alone on this. So Ashlyn, who do you already have floating along with you?
Yeah, I have Riker already on my mic because he is a constant presence in this finale. So I figured might as well set him up. And then when I pull another action figure, they will have to endure his presence for the entire hour and a half of our pod.
Not only does Ashlyn have Riker on her mic, where else do you have Riker, Ashlyn? Staring me down.
I'm also wearing a shirt that says I'm number one with a photo of Riker.
He is literally staring at me, both Rikers right now. I feel his presence in the room with us. So let's pick another to go along on this journey. Ashlyn,
let's do it.
Go to your shelf.
Sounds like a dog. Go to your shelf.
Go to your shelf. They're shaking. Okay, I'm going to go right in the middle. Wow, very deep in there. Oh, okay.
LOL. Hello.
Hi. Okay, Ashlyn, would you like to go first? Who did you pick from your shelf?
You know, kind of a neutral pick. I have Scotty from Relics.
A TNG, a character where he's not supposed to be, basically. Actually, that's perfect.
And he's going to hang out on my mic with Riker so they can talk about the good old days, I guess.
Yeah. They both weren't a part of different good old days.
Yeah. Rihanna, wonderful. Who did you pick today?
I picked someone kind of mischievous who actually probably would have really enjoyed laughing at this finale. This is Garak from Deep Space Nine. I have not picked Garak in quite a long time, so it's good to see him again. He's looking just so fashionable as usual. Tailored very well. So
I honestly forgot you had Garak. He hasn't seen the light of day in years.
It was because in the exchange, I think I traded someone pretty big so that I could have Garak and Bashir so that they could come as, you know, a shippable set.
Of course, so, of course.
But Garak is alone today with Scotty and Riker as we come along this journey. So that's strange, but exciting. We're happy to have them.
Yes. Okay. Well, once again, we had so many responses. I kind of expected a lot of people to talk about this episode, but on social media, we asked you all, what are your thoughts on These Are the Voyages and where would you rank it? And I mean, seriously, we got so many responses. It took me forever to compile them. So thank you, everyone. I truly wish that we could read a lot of these, like all of them on the pod. For last week's episode, we read too many that like the comment section was like a 10-minute long segment. And we were like, no, we have to cut it down. So like we're experimenting with how many we can read without boring all of you. So
totally.
I want to start off with Socialists in Space comment. Why would you do this to yourselves? And many people, including Julian Brown from Strange New Pod, also says, why didn't you just skip this one? So a lot of people were really hoping we would preserve our mental health and not talk about this episode.
But we didn't. Okay, I'm going to go with Minnesota Milf's comment, who said, Terra Prime is an incredible indictment of the fascist movements like America First. Best finale episode. Love that. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people talked about Terra Prime. They said These Are the Voyages are not, or is not, the finale episode.
They're like,
Terra
Prime.
Yeah, exactly. I also couldn't help but notice this. Strange New Pod also mentioned they did a disrespect to Riker's beard in this episode, and I never really could put a finger on it. Like, what's wrong with Riker?
Yes.
And it's his beard. It's a weird beard. Yeah.
It's strange. It's off-putting, like everything about Riker in this episode. And then I'm going to also say Elizabeth Dean's comment, who said, barely saved by the novel The Good That Men Do, the most unnecessary tacked-on usurpation of a storyline.
Mm-hmm. Now, this comment I actually was thinking about a lot because it's how I wished that I could watch this episode. Melissa 13 says, "This is how I watched it last year and will now be my go-to. During my TNG rewatch, I rewatched just the Riker Troy scenes after I watched Pegasus. I always thought it was weird that she was basically not even in that episode. Then after I rewatched Enterprise, I watched the rest of the episode pretending that Franks was a random crew member. Much easier that way."
What cut would this even be called? Like, more like a splice. This is incredible. The Riker splice. I am so in love with this version. Yeah, brilliant.
I think it makes it so much better to just pretend that Riker is Chef.
Yeah, and Mako. Don't forget Mako. Yes, yes. I'm going to read Rippo.com's comment, who said, "Enterprise deserves a two-part finale and not this. I love Enterprise. Watch the series every few months. It's not just the TNG cameos. It's what they did to Trip and T'Pol's storyline. Trip's death." Yeah.
Yeah, that is it.
Yep.
Let's see. Batman and Robert says, "It's not a bad episode. It's really good. It's just that having the cast take a backseat to a guest star in their own series finale was a terrible idea."
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Stuart Yee says, "I just liked it as a finale. The Earth-Romulan War isn't mentioned, and Tucker dying is a petty way from random henchmen is anticlimactic."
Mm-hmm. Yep. Slacker says, "I don't hate it. Never did. I don't have energy to hate something like this. Save your hate energy for something more worthwhile."
Iconic. Thank you, Icon. Trex Green Pods said, "I might be the only person in the world that liked this. It had an unenviable job of ending not just one show, but that entire era, and I think found a clever way to do that. Love the final mission with Shran and hint at the birth of the Federation, but Trip's not dead. 4 out of 5.
I love that. Sherm_2 said, "It felt like the entire cast of Enterprise being fired and the senior staff escorting them out of the building."
Chris Hoyt says, "I feel like the episode has zero Enterprise characters. The only characters are Riker and Troy. The rest are all holograms."
Oh. Jeff Seeley says, "Shoehorning TNG's The Pegasus into it was a bad idea. If you think about it, it made it so that the only real characters in the finale were Riker and Troy. The rest were holographic recreations." Yep. "But I am thankful that the sleeves opened the possibility that Trip maybe wasn't killed."
Yep, amen. Maybe one of the best comments, Duel in Desperado said, "My grandma told me that if you have nothing nice to say, then say nothing at all. So I will say nothing."
Yep. Savage Manichoke says, "I get why people might not like it, but I read that it's considered the worst Star Trek episode. Y'all watched Code of Honor or Angel One, right?"
You know what? Fair point. Like, there are worse Star Trek episodes.
Yes, yes. Yes.
And the last comment is from Golf Delta Mike, who said, "Braga shows back up after Manny and the Reeve Stevens duo spent years cleaning up this mess just to remind us what a tool he is." So I really just wanted a little, yeah, slow clap for this, like, drag of Braga. A Braga drag.
Braga drag.
We're always here for that. Thank you, everyone who commented. This is just such a delightful way to interact with our listeners and with our followers and such, people who saw our post, because I really love hearing sort of the general consensus of the audiences. I love that there are people who liked this Enterprise finale a lot. We should actually ask our mom, because she is one of the sweetest, like, people, and is very kind to a lot of episodes that I hate, you know, and she really actually likes Troy and Worf as a couple, you know, and actually was, like, fine with C7, you know, and that kind of stuff. And so I think that it could be really interesting to see what she thinks about this finale, because she's also a huge Enterprise fan. So we'll come back to you. We'll let you know what she says.
Yeah. Also, mom is so, could we call her?
Just randomly.
A cold call? She's away. I feel like in the morning we have a better chance.
She's on the road, looks like, on Wadsworth.
Let's try.
Yeah. I feel like a game show.
Hey!
Do you have a quick moment? We have a question.
Yeah, I have a moment.
Okay, you are on the podcast.
I'm on the podcast.
Yes. I'm trying to figure out how you could hear Ashlyn. She's in my headphones, but it's fine. She just says hello.
Hi.
So you're currently being recorded. If you consent to that, we will continue.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, awesome. So we are currently talking about the Enterprise finale, and we wanted to call you because we were curious. We were just talking about how, like, lovely you are with episodes and pairings and such that I usually, like, hate or very critical about. You're like, oh, I thought that was lovely, or I thought that was nice. So we were curious, as such an Enterprise fan, how you felt about the Enterprise finale.
I loved the Enterprise finale. Yeah. As you would imagine, yeah. Completely contrary to how you two felt about the Enterprise finale. Yeah, okay. I loved it.
Uh-huh. Tell us more.
Well, one, I was just sad that it was going to be ending. Mm. Didn't they bring in,
Riker, yes.
They brought in Riker.
And Troy. Yeah.
I didn't find that to be off-putting mm-hmm. when I was watching the finale. I enjoyed it. I thought that it was just like a fun way for them to, like, kind of tie in next gen stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I loved it.
Yay.
I was trying to think, yeah. You know, what else specifically about it. But as you know, Enterprise is one of my very favorites. So yeah. Just getting anything from them and then knowing, like, oh, this is going to be the last one. Mm-hmm. I often go into even, like, you know, Seinfeld finale,
yeah.
Not a very good finale, but I loved the show so much that mm-hmm. I also really liked that finale. So that could just nice. Be part of
yeah.
who I am.
Right. It, like, softens you to the finales a little because you're just, like,
yeah.
in love with the show. Yeah.
Yeah. I can get that it really wasn't put together well. And mm-hmm. the fact that it was like, why are we bringing in Riker and Troy?
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. that there was that question mark
yeah.
for a lot of people, but I loved it.
Tons. Wow, this is so wonderful. It's we were, like, kind of questioning, so we were like, I wonder if she liked it or not. We know what a big Enterprise fan you are, so thank yeah, you sure. so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for letting me join.
Yeah, we wanted to photo bomb. Oh, so glad That's you awesome. Answered. Thanks for the cold call. Ashlyn loves you, and we love you. So
love you, honey.
Okay, talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Wow.
There you have it.
A queen.
A queen says it here first. The Enterprise finale is good, y'all. We gotta check ourselves.
I'm just gonna say that I think mom is the target demographic for yeah. like everything. I don't know. She takes things as they
appear.
She
loves them.
And she, like, loves them.
This is the thing I always have loved about our mom, is that she, like, just is not super, like, critical of television and of media. And of course, like, if of course it's, like, saying something really bad, or, like, you know, obviously she's not gonna like music or media that's, like, promoting something terrible. But I think for the most part, she really is just, like, will take things openly and how they were intended, you know, instead of, like, oh, it should have been this, should have been that. I really like that take, you know, and I think that's really great. And what some of our listeners or some of our commenters have said, you know, that, like, oh, they actually really liked it, and the only part was Tripp's death or something that, like, turned them off to it. So it also is always a good reminder for me when I'm taking things a little too critically, because we have a podcast that is supposed to critically critique and look through and celebrate Star Trek, that sometimes I forget that you could just enjoy things and, like, not take it, you know, not take everything so seriously. So I really like that our mom is just the, like, pinnacle person of that.
Also, I think she's really valid as a, like, sample from the yes. Trek fandom, because she's completely uninfluenced by social media or
yes.
like by how, like, the masses are reacting, because she's mm-hmm. just disconnected. Like, we're her Trek, like, yeah. social media source.
Exactly.
So I think, like, she's not afraid to agree or disagree with whatever the popular opinion is, because she doesn't know it. And that oh, yeah. definitely sometimes it sways me, you know, it's like, oh, for yeah, sure. it is bad, even though it's not as bad as everyone thinks.
Which is what I kind of did with Enterprise at first, was kind of went with the masses and just said, oh, the whole show's bad. Yeah, it's the worst Trek. But then over the years was realizing, no, that's just some people's louder opinions about Enterprise who just didn't like it for certain reasons. And I understand those reasons to an extent, but also every time I go back and rewatch, I think, wow, like that, oh, so much of this show had such amazing things to say and was just sort of hindered by the time, you know, like we talked about with John Billingsley. And I will never stop talking about that John Billingsley interview. It was so fun, but I just love it. And I'm very glad our mom was able to answer. You know, I think since we're talking about like taking this as a fun, you know, taking it lightheartedly, let's go into our questions. Ashlyn decided that it would be better as a two-parter question this week. So can you walk us through that?
Yeah. Okay. I'm so excited to ask this question. This episode of These Are the Voyages is where our question from the finale series comes from, because of course, Riker is watching this historic moment on the holodeck. So, but this week I thought we should try to do the episode justice. So I'm going to ask you in this question in two parts, Rihanna. Number one is, if you could go on the holodeck and watch this episode, specifically the historical event that Archer goes through, like all the, only the Archer scenes of this finale, like how the birth of the Federation began, who would come on the holodeck with you?
Okay, so I have thought a little bit about this, and this may be crazy, but because of my whole like crazy conspiracy lady theory that Trip isn't dead, I would bring Trip.
Oh my god.
Because we need to corroborate some things. We need to talk some things through. I need his perspective. I don't need a Riker perspective right now. I need a Trip perspective. So it might be a little dark because he might watch his own supposed death that I'm still in denial about. But that's my answer. It's a little unhinged, but I would bring Trip. We need some real answers. So who knows if those historical documents are even accurate. So Ashlyn, who would you bring to watch this historical moment?
Well, I think that's great and very Rihanna typical answer.
Thank you.
I am bringing Pike.
Oh.
Because Pike doesn't even know what a holodeck is. So like that would be really exciting, number one. Yeah. I mean, neither does Trip. So Trip would also be
Trip
like,
would be, oh, my he does, God. Actually. He's been in one before.
Oh, that's how he got pregnant. That's true. Yeah, exactly.
Only on Star Trek. Well, that sentence make complete sense. Okay, anyway.
But not Pike. And he mentions in the episode, Those Old Scientists, the crossover with Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds, that he would love to see Archer's NX Enterprise. Oh. And he starts kind of fangirling about Archer and that ship. And so I just thought he would absolutely die to see this. Like, he would be weeping, probably.
Yeah. And he probably would be trashing it, being like, oh, tiny ass quarters. He'd be like, wow, these beautiful quarters. Like,
really, yeah, he'd be for, like for touching like all the beams. Yeah. Built to withstand.
That's so smart.
Yeah,
I love that idea, especially like I should have brought La'an or something because she would have loved the grapplers, you know.
Oh, the grapplers.
Too bad there's no grapplers in this episode though. Wow, Ashlyn, brilliant answer. I love that you've picked out that little tidbit about Pike. That is also a very Ashlyn answer.
Because I'm hanging out with Pike, by the way, on the holodeck. Anyway, okay, now we go to the very, very chaotic question, which is, you're on the holodeck watching Riker watching the Enterprise crew.
So Riker is now a hologram.
Yeah.
It has now become a step more into meta. Okay, this is a brilliant question.
Yeah, and you also see the Enterprise scenes. Like, you see the whole
everything.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like you're watching the episode like we did last night.
Yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay.
So, Rihanna, who are you bringing?
Okay, this answer started as so unserious, but now I actually... Okay, no, I don't know. I think it's really funny. So, you know who I think could really benefit from learning and for to see who could, like... I think that he would really need some help in making a decision on how to go forward with something. So I'm going to bring Picard from Picard season 3. Now, this is going to be about 20 seconds of spoilers. So if you haven't seen season 3 of Picard, please skip like 10 seconds forward. So this is like around the time when Riker and him are having the crisis about like, oh my God, my son. And Picard is realizing that he has a son and he needs to figure out how to go forward with this. So I'm going to take him on the holodeck and we're gonna watch it in object, no wait, what's the one where, yeah, in objective mode. We're not participating whatsoever in this. It would be weird with Riker there. He'd be like, I don't know what would happen actually. But I think he would also be very interested because he already knows all the Pegasus tea, so it wouldn't be like breaking protocol or anything. Wow, I just thought it would be fucking hysterical.
Rihanna, okay, I made a shocked face that no one could see because I was going to say Picard. Yeah, I was going to say Picard.
What version?
For different reasons. I was going to say season 7 Picard during the episode Pegasus. So then we have like Riker's acting so weird, but then you go on the holiday.
You see why. And he'll be like, he told Troy before he told me.
He really broke that so protocol.
You're really ratting on Riker right now. Like, you're full up snitching.
Yeah. I don't really see it as snitching. More like,
oh, a snitch would say that.
You know,
a snitch would say that. Go on with your explanation.
I view it more like Picard's understanding what Riker is going through. Yeah, it's so true. I cannot believe we both thought about Picard. I mean, it's hard to think about because characters that I would want to bring, like, I think honestly, like Nurse Chapel would be hilarious to bring on this so we could just get like really drunk together, but she wouldn't understand what's going on.
No, we need like, she, people who know
it the loses context. The humor. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I tried to think of Picard and really like pinnacle decisions in his life. Like apparently Riker was in this episode, question mark. It is a pinnacle decision, sure, but not enough to go back and watch. But anyway, okay, this is just like the greatest two-part question. Thank you, Ashlyn, for splitting it up. It's very logical to do it in both these parts. So,
Quick, do you think that Lower Decks just like they put on this episode like with Riker
probably
like, for movie nights as a drinking game?
Yeah, and I'm sure that Boimler asked him about it. Like, what's the deal, like when he was on the Titan, he's like, what's the deal with, like, I mean, he actually did say that in Lower Decks, like, oh sorry, I was watching the those guys in the Enterprise, man, they really had a long road getting from there to here. Like, they truly triggered us all again in Lower Decks.
They canonized this episode because so many people don't want to remember it.
No, exactly. It's torture, but we love them for it.
Okay, so wow, yeah, that was hilarious. We got a lot of what if scenarios right there. Rihanna, your memory is generally better than mine, but I actually have a pretty vivid memory of this finale. But I'm curious, what do you remember of us watching the Enterprise finale together?
So, as you all know, if you're following along in this finale series, at this point, Ashlyn has already been in college. So we literally finished the Voyager finale the night before Ashlyn went to college, before we dropped her off in San Francisco. So at this point, we didn't really have like a ton of time to watch Star Trek, obviously. Ashlyn was in a different state. So anyway, I was a junior in high school, you know, we were all busy. And then the summer after Ashlyn's first year, Ashlyn and I had sort of taken it upon ourselves to say like, hey, we still have Enterprise left. Like, we never completed the full, you know, all of the Thanos stones of Star Trek. Like, we hadn't yet seen Enterprise, but we'd seen everything else that was currently out. And so, besides animated series, which we finished, you know, way later on. But we had tackled, I don't honestly remember the situation of a lot of it, but how I remember the finale is that I was dog sitting at this woman's, Claudia's house. We were just chilling at the house, and I was like, you know what, Ashlyn, like, you should come here and we can just watch Enterprise and like you can stay the night. And like, because Claudia was like, yeah, bring your sister. She's great. So we're on that couch at Claudia's house with Toby the dog sitting at our feet. And when I tell you, we binged the most insane amount of Star Trek I think we had done to date. Like, of course, now it's more. Like, we've probably done more than that in one sitting. But I honestly think this was one of the most impressive nights. I'm pretty sure in my points that I have now misplaced, I have not, like, I wrote down the amount we watched in that night. But we started, like, pretty early on in the day, I believe, and only took breaks to eat and bathroom and stuff like that, and would just come back and watch Enterprise. And so we were coming up with the conclusion, we were watching Terra Firma, sobbing our eyes out, all this stuff, and then kind of like, if I remember correctly, like stir crazy a little bit. You know, we'd been watching so much Star Trek. We took Toby on a walk and then watched the finale. I was just a mess. I remember mostly from this finale, of course, the sense of betrayal. I was also like in a sense of denial too, because Troy spoiled it 15 minutes in about Tripp's death. So I was like truly, after she said that line, I remember just kind of like, no. Like, sort of like, not again. Because at this point, I'm at an unfortunate trend where all of my, like, self-proclaimed favorite characters have either died and come back to life or, like, died permanently. So I was just like, no, like, say it ain't so, basically. So when it was so, I was very furious. I was so frustrated that they kept so obviously alluding to Tripp's death with all the, like, talks with T'Pol and the last toast with Archer. I was like, it would be obvious even if Troy hadn't spoiled it 15 minutes in. So I just remember mostly that. I think the frustration, the excitement of seeing Riker lasted about 3 seconds because it was like confusion excitement. It's one of those things where you're like, I've been played. Like, I'm excited, but then wait, I shouldn't be excited. This is the wrong series. You know, like, I think I was just in a lot of denial and a lot of frustration, especially because we had come off this amazing day of like binging so much Enterprise in a row, watching for hours and hours, having just cried and like, you know, completely lost our souls after Terra Firma, to then wrap around and do this was really a tough like whiplash. You know, I almost don't recommend binging to the finale because
Brianna's like, it's almost like what we did was unhealthy.
No, truly.
Interesting.
Truly. And I don't know if we were drinking at that point or if like alcohol was involved. I don't think it was, but
no, there was no alcohol.
No, we were just chilling, like straight up, I think just hot chocolates and tears. Like, yeah.
So the only addendum I'll make to the story is in my notes, because I have them here, we actually made a schedule for season one. Uh-huh. And we started it on June 3rd, 2015. I think we spent the summer watching Enterprise. I think
you're right.
So yep. I remember I like went on this crazy trip. At some point, Danny was in town, literally my husband. We were dating. That was the first summer we dated, and he was in town and watched some episodes with us.
That's right.
At Claudia's house. And yeah. I think he left for the finale. I think he was only there for a little bit of our marathon.
Mm-hmm. Because he knew it was going to be an all-day event.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, that was special, though, like having the two of us do that, because it was so like hearkening back to our old times. Sorry.
Were you just twisting an action figure?
Yes, sir. I held Garrick and I need to just put him down. It was like hearkening back to old times.
But other than that, I pretty much remember the same thing. This was towards the end of the summer that we finished it. And I remember feeling, you know how when there's like an emergency going on and you're suddenly like in the moment, you're like, okay, I need to pivot. I need to like be really aware of what's going on right now. And that's how I felt watching this finale, because
you went to fight or flight mode.
Yeah, because you're watching like, okay, there's Archer, there's Hoshi, and then you're like, and there's Riker, and then it's like the main credits, and you're like, oh my god, like what's going on? And like the jump scare of the Riker and Troy scenes are not woven well. So I just remember feeling very like unsure of like what the heck was gonna happen. And then once they walked out the door at the end, you know, computer end program, it kind of felt like a slap in the face because, I mean, we did it, we set it up we did it to ourselves, Rihanna. We watched like all of Enterprise and we were like, oh, it's gonna be a great finale, like Voyager, mm-hmm. all good things. And mm-hmm. it was just not.
It was not.
Yeah. So I remember feeling a little bit like, what was the point of this?
All that work to accumulate all to that this. Work
and what did it get me?
Literally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ashlyn, thank you for those additions. Now I think let's dive in to the background info. Oh no, sorry, to your points. Ashlyn, would you like to read, was there a quote or anything at the top of that schedule?
From season one? It's kind of weird.
At least it's not Quirk's body is the candy, like my dude, it could have been weirder.
Well, this one, so in italics it says drinks water and curls hair, and then underneath in italics also it says mutters about beagles. And that was Rihanna apparently made that quote.
That sounds right. I think what Ashlyn does, what happens is like when you were writing up the schedule, we would just like quietly, and then someone would either say something super profound or something like nonsensical or like really funny. So there was a lot of pressure for these quotes to be funny, just like this finale.
And some of them did not. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I have my points, Rihanna. Someday we'll find yours and we'll give you justice.
Yeah.
But I have Phlox in third place.
I forgot how much you loved him.
22,200. And then I have T'Pol with 22,665.
Wow.
And Trip in my number one with 27,960.
Damn. I mean, didn't even scratch the surfaces of some of those others, but also it only had four seasons to do so.
Well, and I think about how I really loved Trip, but Rihanna, like, times 100.
Yeah, absolutely. I think mine were probably, I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Malcolm or Phlox or Archer was in third, but I don't know. And then probably T'Pol and then Trip, because love of my life. I actually today I'm wearing my NX01 hat, for those who can't see, which is everyone because it's a podcast. And then I'm also wearing my Trip Tucker bracelet that I made. So I'm on the quest to make a bracelet of all my favorite Star Trek characters. So this is my Enterprise one. Trip Tucker, love of my life. Yeah. So obviously painful episode for the Trip fans, including Connor Trainor. This was a painful one for him.
Also, I made a Faith of the Heart bracelet last night, and that will be available for y'all to get at Trek Long Island.
Ashlyn, I was like fainting at that because it literally looks like the uniforms. Like, she did so well. She literally makes them look exactly like the uniforms when they're, I'm blown away.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about this, how this episode was received, how it was even made. This episode, you will be shocked, was written by Rick Berman and Brandon Braga. Shocking. We have the return of Jeffrey Combs for his second finale. We talked about that last week. He joins the ranks of O'Brien and Worf as Comb, Melanie, and Michael Dorn.
Oh my god, they were so close to putting Worf in a third one. If only he'd popped in to the Enterprise one. Even in just a background scene.
Wait, could but now, now he's in these he's in the Picard finale, so he wins.
You're right, he does win.
Comb does not appear.
Oh god.
Anyway, okay, so let me just tell you about what they were thinking when they first started talking about the finale. Enterprise writer Mike Sussman wanted an episode that was a crossover featuring the Enterprise cast and some other crew. Initially, he really wanted to have the Doctor from Voyager treating an ill patient, or maybe Archer might be thrown into the future. None of that ended up happening. I mean, as everyone knows, Enterprise was canceled during season four. But Rick Berman said that this episode had always been intended as the season finale, regardless of cancellation. And he gave conflicting answers as to whether Trip would have been killed if the show had continued or not.
Oh my God.
So, like, what? Yeah, very confused. So, obviously, we have Jonathan Frakes and Mariana Sturtis joining us as Riker and Troy. They ended up kind of going with a combination of Mike Sussman's idea and Berman's, like, okay, let's have a weird crossover, but it'll be at the end of the season. You can guess episode was received very negatively by both critics and by the show's cast. And most people consider it to be more of an episode of The Next Generation than they do an episode of Enterprise.
That's why one of our viewers or one of our commenters watches it, the Pegasus cut.
Yes. Connor Trinner, who of course played Commander Tucker, felt the finale should have been a memorable farewell that he described as a MASH moment, but the producers did not want such an element. Trinner liked the finale and he was satisfied it as an actor. His character had plenty to do and he enjoyed working with Franks.
Fair.
Anthony Montgomery, who played Travis Mayweather, was displeased by the finale and said, "I feel there could have been a more effective way to wrap things up for our show, as well as the franchise as a whole. It just seemed to take a bit away from what the Enterprise cast worked so diligently to achieve over the past 4 years. While Franks enjoyed working with Sturtis again, he said, "The reality is it was a bit of a stretch to have a shut down the Enterprise cast show, and that in hindsight was a disservice to them. The early criticism forced the show's producers to hold a conference and address the issue. Bragg admitted there was cast unrest, but defended the episode as a way to close not just Enterprise, but Star Trek as a whole."
Ew, drag Bragga. Dragga, get him out of here.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can kind of understand, like, you think this is going to be the last Trek show of the like this forever, Trek renaissance, like, maybe forever. So you kind of want to... I can't even say this with a straight face. Yeah.
Yeah, fair. I also am going to add some beautiful quotes that Socialists in Space had posted on their story. I believe this is them, right? I assume.
Yeah. I mean, but it's straight from the Trek movie article.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah. Trinner says, "I would have been interested to see what kind of relationship that Trip and T'Pol would have actually had. That would have been an interesting storyline. They were going to try once every 7 years to have a baby, so that would have been interesting." And then Dominic Kidding said, "That Section 31 stuff was quite fun, wasn't it? That would have been worth some exploration. I believe they were actually in Toronto now exploring it without me, and you know Malcolm was always good to be captain eventually. Good British captain, I would say." I love these two perspectives because I think they bring up really good points that the finale basically doesn't really tie in, except Shran, it doesn't tie anything else into the other storylines. Like someone else's complaint about the Romulans sort of being left out of any kind of the conflict being left out of anything or not really ever discussed. It's just like, oh, anyway, peace treaty, woohoo. But after this random kidnapping from these randos, like, I agree. And I'm glad that that perspective is talked about a little bit with Keating's, like, bring in Section 31 or talk about T'Pol, or, you know, Trainer saying talk about Trip and T'Pol's relationship more. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Dominic Keating also goes on to say he just watched the episode on the Star Trek cruise. "I had not seen it in past times and it has not bothered me. This time, I have to say, it really bothered me particularly. And I love Jonathan and Marina. But to see them jauntily wafting around our last episode like nothing's going on, and it ticked me off. It didn't in the instance. I guess as an actor, I was like, we're done. So I was moving on to get another job. But when I look back now 20 years on, yeah, it was disrespectful, I think, to Scott and our cast. I understand Rick and Brannon were wrapping up a very long sojourn of unparalleled TV accomplishment of 17 years on a variation of a theme. It is incredible, but I think it was a misstep. We should have had a standalone episode to end our series."
Thank you. And that is just such a beautiful quote because I think it perfectly encapsulates a lot of people's feelings. And it's nice to hear that Dominic, like someone on the show, felt this way, you know, because it, in a way, at least for me, validates as a fan, like, okay, we aren't crazy. Like, it's not sort of like how the cast of Voyager thinks that everyone sort of universally loves Neelix and we're all just kind of like, shh, no, he wasn't the lovable guy. It's because
they all love Ethan.
Yeah, of course, because Ethan's great. Like, no shade to Ethan whatsoever, but shade to Neelix all the way. So. But anyway, I don't know, that's kind of a comfort in a way. So thank you to both Trek Movie and to Socialists in Space for pointing out these amazing quotes from the cruise.
Quotes from the cruise. Yeah.
So Ashlyn, are we effing ready to do this?
As ready as I can be, Captain.
Okay. So I'm actually going to ask you at the end or end-ish, so you can be thinking about it now. Have you softened to this or gotten harder to this? since the last time we talked about it, or just in general. So
very anyway. Provocative question.
I don't know how else to say it. Okay, so let's just go into it. Ashlyn, we have a very interesting opening here, to say the least, because the finale starts basically in such a weird place. We have no context to know that Archer is giving a speech, that Hoshi is going back to Earth to teach. So we know that, okay, this seems like a Federation speech thing, okay, guess it's in the future. Like, I remember very much fumbling around trying to understand what was going on, because everyone seems like, it seems like very much finale talk, like talking about moving on or talking about these next steps in people's careers or such. That made sense to me, but also I was just thrown right away, even before we even heard Jonathan's voice, you know, like that, I was already feeling a little bit like on unsteady ground.
When I watched this episode literally last night, I actually, once it started, I was like, wait, I'm not at the beginning. It started in the middle. So I rewound because I thought I had missed something, because it jumps almost like mid-sentence into this conversation that Hoshi and Mayweather are having. Like, what is going on here? There's like small little dialogue clues we see. I think someone says like, oh, after 10 years on Enterprise. So we're supposed to know that this is like 6 years after season 4 that we've been watching this whole time. Also, I think the only way that they mark the passage of time for them, like physically, is T'Pol is wearing like a lot of lipstick and makeup now. Her hair's like a little longer. And Hoshi's bangs, they did her so dirty. Her bangs look so weird. But I just feel like there's just like minor character changes. Like we see Archer when he comes in, he has like the slightest gray on like the side of his head.
They're like, ooh, this could be good.
Yeah, they're not going full All Good Things or Endgame with their age makeup in the future, but just like slight little touches. But it's very, very brief. And we get like 3 minutes or less. Suddenly the camera turns. There's Riker. And then he ends the program, gets up and leaves.
And then that's
and the then intro. It's the intro.
Okay, this is the I was gonna say other thing, but it's not the other thing. It's one of the a million things that bothers me about this episode, is the fact the Riker moments are bookended by the intro. So not only are we seeing the Enterprise D and we're seeing Riker and like from a completely different show, it's bookended by the Enterprise intro, making it so like chaotic to me. It's so disruptive and it's so confusing, because just visually the shows look really different. And as someone who has watched a lot of Star Trek, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Any of you have seen enough Star Trek to like know that even though TNG and Voyager look similar, they're not similar. They have really different feels. Like the ship feels different, and it's because we've inhabited these sort of TV spaces for so long. At least for myself, I feel like every single show has kind of a different flavor of set. Obviously TOS, of course, but like Enterprise especially is very like gray tones, it's a little bit darker, and then TNG is kind of a warm yellowish color. And so I just feel so disrupted by this, because I'm expecting my Enterprise, I'm expecting the one that we've been watching for 4 years or for 4 seasons or however you watch this, you know. And I think that's the other thing that just feels like such a disrespect is, oh, let's just we have to break up this scene to make it dramatic, so let's put the intro in between two Riker scenes. Like what, who greenlit that? How many people had to greenlight this?
Rihanna, everyone, they, whatever Rick,
everyone,
whatever Rick said, it's all good. Ugh. Yeah, I was just comparing it with the cold opens to the other finales that we have. We were so complimentary of All Good Things, of
What We Leave Behind.
What We Leave Behind, Endgame, about how quickly they cut to the chase. Because you know what?
Even TOS got to the chase real effing fast, even if it was a trash finale.
Even TOS, yeah, exactly right. And instead of feeling like, oh wow, in these first 5 minutes, I know what's going on, I'm excited to see what comes after the intro. Instead, I felt deeply confused. Yes. And yeah, I'm excited to see Riker, But I have more questions than excitement.
Yes. I think because here's the other thing. And this I just feel like if Riker was related to one of these characters, like they're an ancestor, or if Riker had been somehow prevalent in Enterprise to date, like I'd be a little bit more on board, right? If they had mentioned Riker at any other point in the entirety of Enterprise, why would they now at the finale? You know, like I think that's what's so baffling to me is like at least make him related or talk about him in one episode leading up, which I know they didn't know, blah blah blah, but that is just so baffling out of everyone to choose Jonathan Frakes. I know that it's partially because he loves coming on to Star Trek shows that he doesn't belong in, well, which is fair enough because it sometimes works.
He's just always available. He's like, sure, let's
sure,
go.
I'll do another Star Trek thing.
Sounds good. Like, yeah, yeah.
He was in all the movies, doing all this stuff. So, like, I love that all the actors, too, are acknowledging, like, no shade to Jonathan at all. Like, they know it's not Sturtis or Frakes that are really, like, the culprits here. They know it was Braga and Berman.
Okay, since we're talking about this, because, yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. So, also, I just want to say, like, we did talk about this on our holodeck episode quite a bit, and so you know we're not going to go deeply into the like holiday information, but I do want to say, like, just from a filming perspective, how weird it must have felt for the cast to be just like doing their scene and Jonathan Frakes is just like sitting in a chair behind you
or like, in the middle of you,
like, in the middle. Yeah, there's a scene in Archer's Corners where it's like Archer and T'Pol are having like a serious conversation and you just see Riker sitting between them.
It's creepy. It's literally a jump scare. Like, this should have been on our spooky series, Ashlyn.
I think that if you're in objective mode in a holodeck, you should not be allowed to like be in the shot. Like, get out of there. I don't want to see your face.
That was so creepy. And it's always like a lurking reminder that you're unsettled and that this is not really the finale that like yes, we want.
Yes.
You know, like I think that's the other problem is if Riker were out of more of the shots and if it were actually our Enterprise cast that we want to see in this Enterprise finale, then maybe I'd feel a little less like he was like intruding and there's just like jump scare, there he is.
I was thinking to myself, I didn't play a drinking game while I watched this because as you can tell, like I've been sick, I'm trying to stay hydrated, but every time there's a Riker jump scare, take a drink and I think you'll have a really good time.
Oh my god, that's genius.
Also, okay, what is going on? This episode is only 43 minutes long.
Yeah,
that is disrespectful. Mm-hmm. This finale is shorter than Turnabout Intruder.
No. No, that's unacceptable. Nope. I'm furious.
Isn't that insane?
I'm so glad you looked that up. I
don't even have to look it up. I know the length of TOS episodes, yeah, and they're longer than Enterprise.
Was Terra Firma a two-parter? I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what one of the other many things. You're so right, is the length itself. In a way, it's kind of a blessing because it gets over quickly, but that's not the fucking point of a finale. Like
that was the silver lining. I went into it, I was like, oh, I thought it was 90 minutes. Oh,
yeah, I was like, oh, phew, I don't have to be tortured for so long. But the problem is you're still 15 minutes in feeling tortured, you know? Like, the thing is that not a lot actually happens. I actually, like, wrote down the plot just to, like, see how much actually happens. I don't think I ever really remember the real plot and what actually goes down in this episode besides Tripp's death feels very Tasha Yar. There's some holodeck shenanigans, you know, like, and that Chef is Riker. So real quick, I'm just going to lay out the plot because it's very simple. It's literally Shran is alive. Everyone thought he was dead, but nope, he's alive and his daughter has been kidnapped. So Shran comes to the Enterprise begging for help, saying, come help me get my daughter back. But they're asking for this device that I don't have, but I know where it is type thing. So they go back to Rigel 10, which is where it all began. And then they have to, meanwhile, Tripp is trying to purge the deuterium filters before they get back to space dock. Because after this mission, Archer is going to go make a speech to pretty much get everyone joining the Federation. So this is like the founding speech that everyone's textbooks are about. And the sort of beginning of the Federation. Shran is going to go with them, and then they're able to, like, boom, boom, do some kick-ass
They think that the little hostage takers are done for, but they end up pursuing them on the Enterprise after Shran has did he actually leave? I couldn't remember if he actually left before.
Yeah, was Shran left.
On the shuttle? Okay, yeah. So Shran left and was like hours gone by the point that these hostage takers come back to the Enterprise, catch up with them, say, where is he? Trip tries to lead them away because Archer, they were like threatening Archer. So Trip pretty much has them knock out Archer and then pretends to go and lead them to Shran, but instead leads them to a place to pretty much blow himself and them up. So then that happens, Trip dies, then they go to the Federation, Archer does a speech, and hugs T'Pol. did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
See what I mean? Like, I think that it's a fairly good, like, mid-season plot, you know, and I think that it's fairly, like, interesting, bringing Shran back, having the kidnapping and stuff, but after the bad guys are supposedly trounced and they're heading back to the Federation to make the speech, I think the bringing back of these guys just for a Trip to die this death is what really makes it all fall apart as a good plot. You know, I think that overall it's a fairly solid plot, mostly because Shran is doing all the work. Jeffrey Combs is literally like carrying this plot, and even the little daughter is carrying it, you know, like they're doing such a great job of setting this up and everything, but then it all falls apart when it feels meaningless, when it feels like nothing was accomplished, nothing was gained, it was a meaningless death, and it never felt like, oh, but that's the point. Like, it's never like that either. Like, it wasn't done well enough for me to feel like, but that's poetic, that's what it's like in space. No, it didn't feel like that. It felt very, like I said, Tasha Yar, like, we just want to kill someone off to make it feel more like a finale. That's truly how it felt to me.
I thought that Rick Berman and Brandon Braga must have put a bunch of ideas in a hat, and they were thinking, what's the best way to alienate our audience? And they just pulled them out one by one. Because yeah. One of the first things I noticed was when Shran appears on the screen, everyone thinks he's dead. But Archer or someone says he should have died. He died like 3 years ago. And because we didn't see that like in the normal Enterprise season 4. And so it's like, you're needlessly processing this information like, oh, he died in a time we didn't see.
Yes.
Like, it would have been cooler if he died in season 4 and he's returning. Yeah. That would have been like, it would have paid off more. So you're feeling already like, oh, well, I don't know what they're talking about. So, okay, cool. Shran's alive. No emotional payoff. And then also after Trip died, it really disturbed me as well because T'Pol and Archer seem like hardly affected.
Yeah.
Especially Archer.
Janeway ruined all the timeline for her bestie. Archer should be like sobbing. Like,
I don't understand the writing choice for either of these characters. Also, the fact that, oh God, Riker of all people brings up when he's having these, we have so much to unpack, but like when he's talking to all the crew members and he asks T'Pol like, oh, do you ever miss Trip? And then somehow that spurs on their like romance coming back, when if you just came from Terra Firma, you just saw the most heartbreaking, like saddest possible plot for these two characters. And now to have this like romance like slapped around and kind of referenced, disrespectful. And like what you're saying, Rihanna, about having the Enterprise scenes, having so many scenes on the Enterprise, I don't understand. I feel like at least a quarter of the episode takes place on the Enterprise D. And I just think there's a better way to reference the entire Trek universe than to do it this way. And it also kind of feels like, oh, what's the Trek that's most popular? Oh, it's TNG. Yes. Let's go back there. Like, let's not go back to Deep Space Nine where like history was made and we won the Dominion War. Like, no, let's go back to good old safe Star Trek. No shade to TNG, but you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. And this is exactly the crux of what I'm feeling as well. And this is from the lens of someone who didn't grow up with TNG and whose TNG is probably not my favorite Trek. Like, it's a little lower down on my list of favorite Treks. Again, not because of shade, but just because like I enjoy other Star Trek a little bit better. And so I think that it absolutely is catering to the TNG fans, which is an insane thing to do on a finale of a completely different Star Trek show. Even if you're trying to make an ode to Star Trek, I think that the ode would be to the next captain of the Enterprise, Kirk. Like, not that I want Shatner in this finale at all, get him away, but I just mean like do a reference to Kirk, which they kind of did, you know, through Riker, blah, blah, blah. But like, I just feel like if you're trying to harken back to the original Star Trek, go to the original Star Trek, go to the source material. That's the whole point of this, right? It's supposed to be like, you know, yeah. But it's not, obviously. Like, I know it's not, but like, well, that's what it should have been, maybe. I don't know.
I feel like Berman is trying to cement Enterprise as like the revamped TOS, you know, like, oh, since we're further back in time, we're even more legendary than the original series. You know, it's like, oh, we're even earlier on. True. I'm Archer, damn
They're really trying not to like do a Kirk comparison here.
Yeah, but like, why are they? Yeah, just
why Picard and Riker then? Like, and why the Pegasus? Like,
make this a 90-minute episode. Yeah. If you're gonna have all of these callbacks, I'd be fine with that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think let's go on this Pegasus rant for a second, because out of all of the episodes of TNG, like that are memorable and, you know, like I think about Best of Both Worlds, that would be a crazy one to go back to.
Yeah.
Like Darmok,
any of the times Picard is like kidnapped and he's trying to figure out how to negotiate, you know, like
Chain of Command. There's so many legendary TNG episodes that even in the early 2000s, like you could pick those out. Pegasus to me is a good one, but it's not one that I think a casual Trek fan, even me, I did not know what episode the F they were trying to reference when I first saw this for the holodeck series. So I just think it's a disservice to assume that we understand what's going on in the TNG episode that we're also supposed to be like trying to follow the plot in the ENT episode. Like suddenly we're trying to balance two plots going on at the same time, not in a classic Trek A B plot way, but in a like two thick heavy plots are happening at the same time. I get tired of trying to follow the details of each, and so I just don't care about either one.
You don't emotionally invest. I think that's another form of isolation in this. I really agree, and I also feel like it's very isolating because of the time skip as well, and the fact that yet again this is kind of different than the soft launched couples that we've seen, you know, in the past that we've discussed in the other finales. But I feel like this is still similarly Trek following the trend of having this couple that was a will they won't they for so long, or a literally they will and they were, to either be completely broken up, completely isolated, or married and divorced as they were in All Good Things. You know, like I think that there are ways in which Star Trek is like trying to make it this sort of like, ooh, like time has passed, things have changed, get used to it. And I'm like, yeah, but the whole point was building to a relationship. So why wouldn't you want the payoff of that? You know, like the payoff from Terra Firma wasn't enough. Sorry, Terra Firma.
Oh, well.
Wait, many Star Trek episode titles.
I think I said Terra Firma earlier too.
I think I did. Yeah, Terra Prime is Terra what we Prime. Meant to say.
Yeah, we Jesus meant to say Terra Christ. Prime.
Too many episode titles. And since I'm rewatching Voyager, I have all of those in my head. Anyway, so I feel like that's another disservice that it does, is by doing a time skip and having them be kind of a broken up relationship that they don't even think about each other in that way as much. Like, they don't think about getting back together. Of course, they think about each other, but they're not actively trying to make anything happen is very disappointing to me. It's just sort of like, why then build it up all these seasons? Why have all that neuro pressure therapy? Why do this, that, and the next thing? And of course, that's something that, you know, we heard that Connor Trainor had issues with as well. And I don't know about Jolene Balick, but I just feel like the other thing, yeah, with the time skip is that, like you said, events have happened that we didn't see or have no idea about, and so therefore don't care about, you know, because it's not as though the time skip, like in Voyager, the time skip is sort of a way to show how things have gone wrong. But this one, it's sort of just like another day in the life, but anyway, it's 6 years later. And you're like, wait, but why couldn't you just do it in the timeline that we had? I know that, ooh, the Federation's supposed to form later, but even so, it just seems so silly and isolating. So those are other two factors that I feel like just really break up the flow. And the thing that irritates the shit out of me, and I'm sorry for cursing, but God, it irritates me so much, is Riker saying pause program all, like, every 5 seconds. It's like when you're driving and your, like, GPS cuts off the song at, like, an amazing part,
And it's like, turn left in 5 miles. And you're like, why'd you tell me that? Like, it's 5 miles away. I was just like jamming to this song. And then you're like jamming again. And then she's like, turn left in 3 miles. And you're like, ah! You know, like losing your mind. That's how I feel watching this, because it feels like every 3 or 5 minutes, Riker is saying pause program and he's leaving. And then we have to follow him. We don't get to like keep seeing the program run, or we don't get to keep being with our people that we've been watching for so long.
Exactly right. And it shocks me because clearly, as much as we drag on Braga and Berman, they know how to write TV episodes. And this, to me, I was thinking about it sort of like the Star Wars holiday special. Obviously, the holiday special is like its own special, like,
yeah,
crazy time where everyone was on coke. But I was honestly thinking, like, did they get drunk, write this in a night, and like didn't edit it and just filmed it, and we're like, no, we're not doing any script changes, we're good?
Yeah,
because there's just a lack of a basic understanding of how to keep audiences like enjoying, and not even enjoying, but how to keep people understanding the story. I don't know, that really bothers me too, that it seems like just the overall quality of the writing is so much lower than it was on an episode, literally the last one we saw, like all of season 4 Enterprise. Yeah. You know, a lot of people's opinions is that Enterprise was canceled. Obviously it was canceled too soon, but it just started to get really good in season 3 and 4, which I strongly agree with.
100%.
What could they have done with the season 5 anyway?
Can I read one of these quotes that Troy says that indicates kind of the bad writing here?
Yeah.
Troy says, have you learned on the holodeck about breaking orders? Like, that was a real line. I didn't doctor that line. Like, I just don't understand. Like, that also, you're going to use this random case of kidnapping to try to learn how to tell Picard or not tell Picard about the Pegasus. Like, I know, I just feel like I'm missing a piece here. I feel like I'm missing the joke or the reference or whatever they're trying to do here.
Yes, I'm with you. Also, we might have said this on the holodeck episode, but I just think it's hilarious that Troy is the one, she's like giving all this advice. She's like, oh, yeah, skip ahead when the Andorian calls. And then like 2 scenes later, it goes back to Troy and Riker's like, oh, I took your advice. I was like, I took the place of the chef and I talked to everybody just like you said. Yeah. And she's like, have you run the program before? And she says, no. So Troy has she's never run the program, but she's giving deep advice about like, well, back in those days, she knows like therapy history. She's like, there were no therapists, but the chef acted, I've heard, on Enterprise as a therapist. And then she's like,
when the Andorians like need to skip to the Andorians.
Well, and like, she knows that like the chef is making dinner for the whole crew. Like, it's weird. And yeah, you're telling
she's
me.
Lying.
I was thinking like maybe this was one of her favorite programs and like she's run it all the time. Like, yeah.
Guilt, pleasure, something. I don't know.
I also thought it was funny because at one point she joins Riker on the holodeck and that I was almost screaming. I was like, no, please, literally, God, don't go with him. Like,
get out, please.
I think it escalates the disrespect higher because yes, like we're talking about how they're like in the quarters. They're like, wow, they're so small. You know?
Yeah. Talking about the size of the quarters, I'm like, really, is that important? Like, think about the time. And also, it's just what we've been experiencing and loving. And like, Troy couldn't even remember the name of Porthos. And I'm like, how dare you? Like,
how dare you? Yeah. Well, and then she has to leave. She's like, oh, Reg would hate it if I was late to our appointment. And I'm like, bring Reginald Barkley to this holodeck.
Not when he's dealing with his holodeck addiction.
No, he might be the only man who can turn this episode around, like throw in some Barkley chaos. He'll be like, everybody shut up, you know, he'll tell them like, be quiet. Yeah.
Yeah, Ashlyn, can we talk about these extremely uncomfortable scenes with Chef, quote unquote, Chef Riker and the
Yikes.
Various characters? So, first of all, I just want to say some very disturbing facts. So, number one is that Phlox is giving Riker a fish, one of his pet fish. I know they're not pets, really, because Phlox uses them for medicine and other things, but he's literally giving him a fish, like a sucker fish, that is supposed to taste like a catfish. So they're literally
Phlox is giving one of his animals to get killed and eaten. Like, y'all, this is unhinged.
This is the black market.
What? And Riker asked for it. So it's not canon that Phlox gave one of his fish to Chef, but maybe he did. I don't know. I was weeping at that. That was very disturbing.
Also, hashtag Phlox erasure. I was so disappointed that he doesn't appear. And Mayweather
was barely in this too.
Yeah, he doesn't appear in this episode till like 26 minutes in. I don't think Hoshi's in it except for the opening scene.
Horrible question and the terrible question about attraction from Riker in the
show. Oh, I forgot about, okay, with Chef, sure. No. I didn't like it. Like, this is the thing we're talking about, is you want to have the cast, like the full cast, have a good send-off together. The only times we see these bridge characters are with with Riker.
Oh, you're so right.
And there's not really like a bridge scene.
Yeah. And when Riker's talking to T'Pol, they're having a little heart-to-heart about Trip, blah, blah, blah. Riker says freeze program, and then he kisses her frozen forehead. I'm sorry, but there's something so like inherently creepy about that, you know, especially now with all of our like photons be free knowledge. I'm like, what? Like, that's just creepy on all levels.
Also, like, Riker's not known for forehead kissing. Like,
No.
It just seems like Rick and Brianna were like, ooh, let's have someone kiss Jolene, you know? It just feels disrespectful.
It does. Especially because she's frozen hologram who can't consent. Like, it's just weird all around. I hate it. Especially because we know that T'Pol would be like, the fuck? if like, Chef came in for a little smooch on the head? Like, no way. This also just feels like, who wrote this historical document? You know, like, this sort of thing. Who wrote this holo program? Because, like, also, how accurate is it? How much... Because so much of Chef Riker is influencing their decisions throughout the episode. That's what also really disturbs and confuses me, is that, like, we don't know what really went down, truly, because so many of the things are, like, Riker telling them to do this or asking about this or influencing that decision, which would then just be the holo program adapting to his questions. So... did the Trip and T'Pol conversation about love and attraction and stuff ever happen because Chef didn't do that in real life? I have so many questions, and now none will ever be answered, which is also frustrating.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Also, I think during the Chef scenes, you can see that the writers are trying to like put some sort of cohesive string together of plot, because suddenly we see that Riker is only asking everybody about Trip.
Yeah.
And like all the questions are not like, oh, how was your day yesterday? Or like, are you excited to see your family? Or like, what are your plans? It's like, how well does Trip know the captain? and then I think around this, or before it, is when Troy drops, you know, that Trip is going to die. So God. you're so shocked. And then it's just weird that Chef is asking everything about Trip, because that's really Riker's secret agenda to figure out, oh, how close were Trip and Archer? So like, is their relationship like mine and Picard's? Like, it's such a weird parallel that he's doing it. And it just destroys any type of like cohesiveness I'm trying to figure out in this episode.
Yes, exactly. And literally he asked, did Trip ever take a swing at Picard? You know, he met Archer. What? First of all,
did Riker
take is Riker considering taking a swing at Picard? Is he testing the line? He's like, was hitting allowed back then? Like, I truly don't know. Is he thinking about the Maquis way? Like, I'm so confused by this line on so many levels, because there was no mention of it. Maybe he was thinking about a Pegasus officer who slapped his captain. Like, I don't know genuinely why he would ask.
Did Riker slap his former captain?
Why? Oh, why? I just have, again, so many questions, so little answers.
There's a scene after all the Chef moments where Archer is, I believe, toasting with Trip and T'Pol.
No, just Trip, sadly.
Oh, just Trip. So we get a one-on-one scene with them. This is the scene where Riker's just watching.
Oh, no, that is with Nicole.
Yeah.
With Trip and, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, he's in the background of all these episodes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they're having champagne. And in the midst of all of this, they're toasting to a Warp 7 capable ship. And I was like, that was just dropped in there. I don't remember anyone talking about Warp 7. I thought we were just talking about Sharan and trying to rescue him.
And the Federation starting.
Yeah. So I thought that was weird. Jesus. And then also when he does the toast, Archer says, "Here's to the next generation." And I just thought that was a heartless plug.
you know what the other heartless plug was?
What?
Weird that it happened fucking twice. Is that literally Malcolm says all good things.
Yep, I caught that too.
And I was hissing and spitting like a feral dog, or cat. I was furious because there's already something so disrespectful about bringing Riker and Troi into this finale and making it appear to be a TNG finale, but then there's something doubly, deeply disrespectful about making these references throughout and having it seem like the next series is TNG. It's making it feel like this is a TOS finale almost, like they're trying to lead you in to watch TNG next. And they're like, remember the good old days, just go watch TNG after you finish Enterprise. Like, that's kind of what it feels like they're trying to do, which is so messed up because I know it's not what they're trying to do, but because it comes across that way, that's like, they always have to think of what the intent is versus what it actually looks like. And I don't think they actually got to that phase of seeing what it would look like to the audience. They just got to the intent phase.
Yeah, seriously. Before we, you know, I'm sorry we're so negative, but some of these parts just actually pull my soul out of my body. I know that Jonathan Franks was feeling the same way during the scene where he takes over as a Mako officer. it's one of my favorite parts because yes. We have this cool Sharan, also Jeffrey Combs, like Rihanna said, is the best actor in this whole finale. And I am just so happy we get to see him on screen. I think his scenes peak of the finale. Love to see it. But then there's this chase, fight scene, and you just see her. You just it goes back and forth between gun, weapon, firing, Malcolm running, and then it goes to Riker. He's just he's firing soullessly,
literally mercilessly, with no expression, just plowing down these aliens.
yeah, literally, I was dying.
It's so weird to watch. It's like, did he want to, I'm gonna participate in this part. Definitely participation mode.
Why is he helping? And also the scene where he's listening in on Trip and T'Pol talk about their relationship. creepy. I don't like it.
Is that gonna help you with your Picard issue, my dude? No. Why? You don't have to.
And it's funny because at first I was complaining about objective mode. He's just too weird. Get him out of the shots. But now I think I'm complaining about
participation
mode more because he's just so and his beard. Spirit is so bad.
It's so weird.
Last point about Riker I want to make is that having Trip die, you know, very, very tragic. But after Trip has been injured, they have this whole scene of him in sick bay. This is where Phlox really gets his time in the episode, trying to save Trip.
Lord.
And Riker is in objective mode. So he's in his Starfleet uniform. He's in his red TNG uniform. Why does he want to watch Trip die?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think there's a reason? I know it's for us, but if I personally, I would be skip to the next time segment.
No, exactly. I think that is a really good point. And it seems so almost voyeuristic of him.
Weird. Maybe he's hoping there'll be one more sign of Trip and Archer.
God, he's still even on Trip's deathbed. Yeah. Looking to see how their command structure is.
Is Trip gonna punch Archer? I gotta see.
Yeah.
I will say that the best scene of Riker in the entire finale is when he has a talk with Trip. And I actually think this is the one redeeming scene about this finale that I actually really enjoy. Like, okay, don't kill Trip, but if you're going to, I thought this one scene was placed in the correct order, mm-hmm. where it's after he's dead and it's like a weird Riker flashback. Yeah. God,
I never thought of it that way.
And I'm complimenting the weird flashback.
What a time to be alive.
But I think we get like Trip's last words, sort of like we get to see what he's planning, what he's thinking about. And he shines as a character in that moment. Like Connor Trenor does such a good job in that scene. And Riker is on task enough to make it enjoyable too.
He shuts up and listens enough.
Yeah. So I actually thought that was, if I'm going to compliment anything, it's going to be that scene. My heart was warmed a little bit by watching it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of heartwarming scenes, you know, I actually really did enjoy, besides Riker lurking, I really enjoyed the Trip and Archer moment we discussed. I think it's the best moment to indicate their relationship, to sort of do an ode to that, to all their little times where they had drinks together. I love that Trip is sort of saying, like, everyone knows that they're waiting to see you at the conference, Archer. Like, Archer's trying to say, oh, well, everyone, like, the whole ship, of course they did. And he's right. But Trip's like, come on, like, you're the man of the hour, and we all know that. And that's just so humble and so, like, I don't know, it's just a really good indication of both where they both are at, you know, in their lives. And I really enjoyed that. But I gotta say, if you're gonna look at Archer and Trip's relationship, Riker, if you're gonna go to any episode, go to the one where they're in the desert and like with their little like trapped in the desert, they're both shirtless half the time, because they have a great like dynamic where they do kind of question each other and do kind of fight and have to work against this evil guy. Like, I think that's a way better indicator of an episode of like leadership and how to be a number one or whatever the fuck.
Rihanna, thank you for plugging that. I'm with you.
Come on, Riker.
Yeah. Okay, I think let's talk about some scenes that didn't have Riker. And
yes,
oh,
please.
By the way, there was a Brent Spiner moment. Do you think he recorded that?
Maybe. I think so. That's what I guessed, was that it was a recording that he did for the episode.
I'm going to look it up, but I think let's open the floor and talk about the non-TNG parts of this episode. Let's talk about Sharan. Let's talk about the other parts.
There's not much, but yeah, let's talk about it. I think, like I said a little bit in my like pseudo plot synopsis, is that I think that the most successful parts of this episode are when they're like looking for the daughter and the whole hostage exchange, like those whole scenes and the leading up and everything is done really well, because it is sort of a full circle moment. They are on Rigel 10 again. There is a lot of like camaraderie and teamwork that needs to happen here. That is sort of the core of Enterprise and the core of the show, is like setting aside personal needs for the needs of the others, you know. And I think that this is really the case of it, because they're about to be like celebrated and they're like going through this huge victory and then are kind of thrown this crisis very quickly. And I think that they handle it really well. And I think that actually the plot is really intriguing here in these moments where we get to like see everyone working together to get this Sharan's sweet daughter back. She's so cute.
Yeah, I think this is the closest thing to some kind of callback that we're gonna get in this finale, and that's by having Sharan, because he's been with us from the beginning, sometimes an ally, sometimes an enemy, but always a good friend of Archer's. And so it was nice to bring him in to add this exciting drama to the finale. And I know the whole thing is like the crew was concerned because they were running out of time. And so should they even, like, because they had to make it back for the ceremony. So was it even worth it trying to help Sharan? And I'm sorry, like, even if Archer was late because of this, it's very noble. Like, he's aiding our allies, the Andorians.
That's the most Starfleet thing I've ever heard, is to be late to a conference because you're saving someone from a kidnapping.
Literally, like, that's, I can think of other plots.
Or you're getting kidnapped going to your conference, but that's another Starfleet plot.
That's another thing. If there's a conference involved. Yeah. Like,
particularly medical conference. Be so wary, y'all. It's probably a trap.
Exactly.
No, but I totally agree.
Yeah. And then I just think it's over too soon. I feel like they handle, like, the first half of the Enterprise plot is just the Sharan kidnapping the daughter. The daughter's so cute, and it made me want to, when I have children, force them to dress up as Andorians just to see how cute they are. I was literally
Put on your blue wig, honey.
Yeah, no, no, white wig, Brianna.
Sorry. Put on your white wig, honey.
Yeah, I was literally thinking that. I was like, where could I get a child-size Andorian wig? Like, and then we can all be Andorians. My husband would love that.
I'm sure he loves dressing up.
he does. He did cosplay with me as the doctor. If I get the cosplay, he's down for anything. He just doesn't want to do the work of putting it together.
That was only like a couple of years you guys have been dating, and I remember you guys both, or was it?
It was 2 months after we started dating. What? This man, I was Clara Oswald, legend, and he was the doctor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this man text me in a group chat with you and says, Rihanna, I heard that you have a bow tie for the doctor. Can I borrow it? And I was like, because I had cosplayed the 11th Doctor a lot at that point. And I was like, wow, honored. So even that's even crazier. I thought it was 2 years, not 2 months.
Wait a second. This must have happened twice, because why would he text you? And how could you give him a bow tie if I was in San Francisco?
I just mailed it, I think.
You mailed it? You guys. Yeah. That's commitment. You mailed a bow tie? Okay.
Anyway. Those pictures are amazing. Y'all are so cute. Yeah.
That convention was when we were very first dating. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah. I agree. And one thing I will say that I think is so silly and interesting is that if you're going to bring Sharan back, like, why not just make it a whole tour of, like, bring the Suliban back, bring back Admiral Forest, and like these characters that can kind of harken back to the show itself and not to a whole nother different Star Trek show. You know, this is my complaint.
What I would have been fine with is if like Kang the Klingon came back and and they're Kang's... like, you know what, Archer, like, let's make a deal.
You know what would actually make more sense than this finale is if Kang's ancestors went back to this finale to see how Kang's friends handled, you know, like,
stop.
I'm joking, but I'm not. You know, that's the thing, is that like I'm saying, if Riker was related to any of these bitches, or like if there was any kind of anything, or if Troy didn't have a secret obsession with this hollow program.
yeah. So after the Sharan business is done, then we have Trip's death. And I just want to call back like how, especially there's a scene with Trip and T'Pol. I'm sorry, Trip is dead. There's a scene with Archer and T'Pol after Trip has died that I just feel like both characters are severely like cut. Like they're not processing the grief the way I expect them to. I know T'Pol's a Vulcan, but I actually kind of got the Twilight vibes, like as in the episode Twilight where T'Pol and Archer end up getting together sort of, and like she takes care of him
a little bit,
because the way that T'Pol is like touching Archer and helping him get ready for the speech, it's like, are you serious? Like the like one love of your life dies, and then suddenly you're like, well, I've opened up to love again, I'll just go for Archer.
I felt like it was mothering and her over worrying. It felt more to me like a like familial relationship here at this moment, of like she's sort of sending him off into this new era, and she was kind of the one to help usher in this new era. And so it, to me, it felt more like she's taking extra care of Archer because they're both grieving at this moment, and they're both like going through something, and that's the only way she can sort of establish that she's trying to help him in this way, is through her little acts of service, through her like fixing his tie or whatever. That's how I saw it, but I do like that look. I don't like it, but I think that's interesting. Like, I think, ooh, gross if that's the case, but also interesting if it is.
I'm gonna go with your take, Rihanna.
We'll just pick the take we like better and go from there.
I just know that Archer has always had this underlying thing for T'Pol.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if she just like gave in, you know? She was like, whatever. I lost my self-respect.
I wouldn't be surprised if Braga and Burnett wrote that for her.
But well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, true T'Pol would not even be here.
Yeah. Well, and I think though T'Pol is so vulnerable now as a Vulcan. I think that she has really grown, and unfortunately, because this episode doesn't care about character development or character moments or plot, it doesn't focus on a lot of these character glow-ups. And I really think, you know, that of course Phlox and Mayweather were snubbed, and Reed to an extent, but I also just feel like they weren't able to have the time. They didn't give the time to show T'Pol's growth as much as they should have. You know, I mean, I think there is something really wonderful and interesting about Archer sort of telling T'Pol not to be racist to Andorians, you know, when it started out, and him sort of hearkening back saying, I used to be super racist to Vulcans and like I used to have a lot of bigotry surrounding them. And T'Pol is kind of feeling the same way about the Andorians. And so I thought that was kind of cool and really interesting, but also didn't really highlight the ways in which T'Pol has grown in other ways, besides her being a little bit more affectionate to Archer and supportive and doing the hug and everything at the end. I actually really enjoyed. I really enjoyed these moments with T'Pol and Archer. I think that they truly are both just emotionally stunted and for different ways, and they can't emote in the ways maybe we'd want to watch them do it. I want to watch them just like weep and care for each other and like hug, and they did though in their own way, you know. I don't know, but I still
I
think it's
like
very
this.
fast. I think it's very abrupt and way too short, especially if we're expecting a finale to be celebratory, not a quick moment of a death followed by some sort of semi-grieving followed by celebration and program. You know, like that's all so abrupt. I hate that.
I think I'm realizing now it's the lack of character moments.
Yeah, yes, it feels like an incomplete finale because it feels like it's all plot and no character. We literally have a, sorry to interrupt, Ashlyn, but we literally, in my writing class I just completed for this quarter, we're talking about the difference between the situation and a story, and how you can have a situation, and that's fine and well, and it's really intriguing, you know, oh, interesting situation about Archer's, about Shran's daughter getting kidnapped. But the story doesn't play out well. It's not written well. And so therefore it's just a situation, and it's never really turns into a story, is how I feel at least, and how sort of bad writing ends up being sometimes is just an anecdote, basically. And I guess they are kind of trying to point out, oh, it's just now a point in history. But that's even more isolating because it feels like, oh, it already happened. We're not living it in the moment with everyone.
Yeah, it's kind of a letdown because all of this is set in stone. I'm with you. Yeah, I just think that's what made all of these other finales we've talked about really good. Even Turnabout Intruder, I think, has really good character moments where we're like, oh, we get these special like nuggets of gold with these characters. That's how I feel about the Tripp and Riker scene at the end. I feel like that is a great character moment. That's what's carrying me through. I am so happy you're liking these Archer and T'Pol scenes.
Yeah,
I'm just not at all.
that's valid.
A large part of it's probably Riker is like in and out of them, and it just takes me out so much.
Yeah.
But I will say, I have never in my life realized how hot Archer is when he's about to go out and make his speech.
Ashley.
The uniform. He looks so good. I was like, okay, sir, I feel this. Like, let's
You're like
go.
saluting Archer.
No, literally, I was like, my man looks great out here.
Okay, yes.
And then I think as we're entering, you know, the last part of the finale, I experienced a lot of whiplash. So I just want to take
Yes.
you through my points of whiplash that I
Please,
experienced.
yes.
Number one is we see the Enterprise crew, they're like sitting in the auditorium ready for them to make the speech, and you're like, oh, where it's it, no one's talking about how Tripp is gone, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, right.
So you see that's like our cast goodbye scene, is like three people in the bleachers, and then it flashes to a scene of Riker and Troi talking, and you're like, okay, this is strange. Then we get the goodbye, or like the hug between Archer and T'Pol. Archer walks out to make his speech. Riker says, computer and program. So it ends because he's like made his decision. And so you're like, what? It's over? We didn't even get to see the speech.
Nope.
What's going on? But then you hear the Enterprise theme. You're like, what's going on? And you hear Picard say, space, the final frontier. And then Kirk, we hear the voyages. And then it ends with Archer saying the end of the little speech. So I, whiplash, right? Because
yes.
I'm feeling like so robbed. But then when I'm hearing Picard and Kirk's voice, I'm like, this is delightful. And I forgot everything wrong with this episode.
They got you with the nostalgia.
They got me good. I was like, oh, it wasn't really that bad.
It made me feel, I did not get got with that. I think for a second, because it is nice to hear the voices. But unfortunately, I think Star Trek 2009, and is that the one where, when at the end they all do space, like everyone says it differently, and then Leonard Nimoy ends it?
Yes, that's 2009.
Yeah, so I think I was kind of like, but that was done better.
But you know? it's also done in the movies, like after Spock dies in Voyage Home. I mean,
right, everyone does it
in Wrath of Khan. Yeah, so
yeah,
it's,
which maybe
it's
is
done
a cool
before.
Hurricane. Yeah, it has been done before. Yeah.
But it's the Enterprise captains, and I was thinking, cool. Where's the captain of the Enterprise
Sisko?
B?
Where's Janeway? Oh, no, that's what I was thinking at first, and then I was like, oh, it's Enterprise, yeah.
B and C, where's the cool lady?
Yeah,
and where's
so
the
cool.
guy who everything was coming on Tuesday? Like,
literally.
Where are they at?
I love this. We need more deep references, y'all. If you're going to reference Pegasus, go deeper.
B and C erasure.
Literally, always. Yeah, you know, and I do really see that. I think it's a clever idea. I just think the intro of having Picard go first, I know ending with Archer's the point, but it still puts a gross taste in my mouth. It should just go like Kirk, Picard, Archer is my guess, because then at least it wasn't Picard again. It just feels like, again, they're prioritizing TNG even over TOS in this moment, because technically if you're wanting to go in order of release, go TOS, TNG, Enterprise. Or if you want to go in order of Enterprises, go Enterprise, TOS, TNG, which would be weird. But like, I don't know. I just think dumb. Why start with Picard?
Okay, here's my suggestion. Why even have Picard or Kirk? Just have Archer say it.
Thank you. That's the real finale right there.
Why do you have to remind us that this whole episode has been bogged down by TNG bullshit by having Picard?
By other Enterprises. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it shows the other two Enterprises instead of just showing the NX. Oh, well.
All of this proves is that no matter how upset I am, if I hear Picard, Kirk, and Archer say what's the speech called? It's the captain's prerogative. Yeah, whatever. If I hear Picard, Kirk, and Archer say the speech, I will be cured of most of my anger, but Rihanna will not. That stuff does not work on her.
It does not work on me. A lot of the nostalgia bait doesn't work well on me. Sometimes it does if it's done well, and I feel like here it just wasn't. This felt like third or fourth TNG finale. We're gonna talk about the next one next week. Like, it, this is the thing I just want to reiterate very quickly, is that TNG has had so many pseudo closing episodes that it feels just like every single other iteration of Trek is actually a hidden TNG finale, and I don't like it. I don't like that we have to think we're always hearkening back to the best Trek to make it a best episode or a finale. I just don't think that that's fair to the Treks that are actually doing finales, you know? Like, I wonder, you know, I just wonder if Enterprise were a better rated show or had run 7 seasons, would they even think of this? I mean, maybe, because Berman said that he's always wanted this to be the finale, which is terrifying that it was like destined.
Well, no. He said, like, it wasn't destined. It wasn't like they started the show thinking that. I don't want you to be confused. No, he just knew no matter if they were canceled like early midway season or at the end, they were going to do this finale. Like, he went into season 4 thinking this is how it'll end.
That's a little better, but I was still scared. So I don't know. The qualms are just qualms, because I thought I'll name a couple cute lines that I thought were good for finales. First is when Reed and Trip are talking, and Reed is kind of saying, oh, but it won't be the same, you know, like, oh, once it goes to the dock, it's not going to be the Enterprise, it's not going to be our Enterprise anymore. And Trip says, that's okay, you know, and I honestly love that idea that because I hate endings and I hate moving on and change and all of that. And I think a good majority of humans do. And so it's really nice when a finale who generally didn't deal with the change of everything very well, I feel like this finale did do well with sort of saying, like, it's okay to move on. It's okay for things to be new and different. And you still will have those, like, amazing memories of your time there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a good point, Rihanna. And I think if they're aiming for trying to make this a Star Trek universe goodbye, that mm-hmm. is the type of thing you want to put in there. Like, will this be the last Enterprise? No, it won't. You know, I think everyone can agree yeah. that we love the Enterprise. So, yes, so talk true. About it as much as you can.
Yes, absolutely. So first, actually, I have two questions to ask before we wrap up this episode, Ashlyn. My first is, since we last saw the finale, which I believe is for our holodeck episode, have you softened to this finale at all? Or have you hardened? Have you gotten more bitter, less bitter? How do you feel now talking about it from a finale perspective and not just a holodeck perspective?
Okay. I have hardened. I have, yep. I have more negative thoughts about this finale than I did when I first watched it. Because I think I was able to, like, okay, I think I see what they're trying to do, mm-hmm. but I don't really like it. I'm not going to watch this again. And so now, being forced to watch it again, I see what they're trying to do, but I don't like nearly anything that they did. And it just feels like a slap in the face, especially, I will say, overall, as I've gotten older, Enterprise, the show, has gotten better for me.
Yes.
Than when I first watched it. Like, there are some great episodes in Enterprise. A lot of the show holds up, honestly. Yeah. And so it's even more painful, I think, to know, like, I like Enterprise more, but this finale will never hit for me.
That's so true. Ashlyn, I second that 100%. I feel like I've gotten more bitter about this episode looking at it through a finale lens, because then you kind of have to pick apart how it is trying to demonstrate an entire show through this last finale. So that leads me into the second question, which is this an effective finale for Star Trek Enterprise?
No, it's not. No. It's not effective. I think if you only had, like, Archer walking out to make the speech, I'd be like, nice, effective.
Yep. Like,
no, there's too much. They tried too much with too little effort. And I don't feel satisfied. I think what we should do going forward, maybe my personal code of conduct, is either to end Enterprise after Dark Frontier. It's not Dark Frontier. What is it? Dark.
It's Terra.
Oh, it's Terra. Terra Frontier. Terra Prime.
Prime.
Yeah. Okay. So end my Enterprise watch through with Terra Prime, or do what one of our listeners suggested, which is to skip the Troy and Riker TNG scenes when you watch this and just try to enjoy it as much as you can with Riker in participation mode. Then you might Perfection. Have like something that is close to a satisfying ending to Enterprise. But Rihanna, are you going to shock me? Was this a satisfying ending? Or no, not satisfying. What's the question? Was this an effective finale?
Yeah, no, it was not. I wrote a list of why. One, it brings another Star Trek show in to make it a TNG episode, alienating Enterprise fans and those who haven't seen TNG, kills off a character at the 11th hour with no prior warning. There's a time skip, which is a big no-no for me. The objective mode breaks the flow of the finale and constantly pausing the holodeck. The whole T'Pol and Trip thing, haven't been together in 6 years. They said all good things, which makes me want to puke. Troy spoiling the plot 15 minutes in. It makes me kind of not like Jonathan Franks, which is a huge no-no for me because I love him and this makes me a little bit bitter. Instead of leaving us with a triumph and joy, we're left with confusion and sadness. So I'm going to say overall, like, it didn't even end on our crew. And that's what makes it, like, even the most just ineffective finale is that it didn't even end on our crew and it just left us confused and sad.
And we didn't hear Archer's speech, which was probably a lot of like Starfleet stuff that would have made us cry.
I would have loved a 30-minute episode with just his speech overlaid with video clips of flashbacks. A la DS9.
Yes.
just give us a platter of Enterprise nostalgia, not a platter of TNG nostalgia. What is going on with that? I don't understand. Yeah.
I did. Rhianna and I, we both watched this episode last night. I texted her after it was over. The episode, it makes my blood curdle like old milk. Like, that's the way I can yes. describe it. I just feel like, oh, yep. God.
Yep.
So before we go, I have to thank Anar, the absolute goat. Absolute goat. Thank you so much for being a patron, as well as Jordan Hirsch, Megan Chowning, Spotted Giraffe, David Willett, Kurlan Noskos, Wolf Wit, Anna F, John B, Gil Dara, Jeff Richardson, Never Otter Even, Anna Post, T. Alexander, Ivan Fetch, and Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being members of our Patreon.
We appreciate you so, so much.
I want to thank all of our listeners for listening to this podcast today and to my crazy sick voice. I appreciate you hanging in there with me. I really just didn't want to delay this one. So maybe it was good to listen to.
Well, thank you for recording while you're sick. Like, that is also the GOAT, the champion. So we really appreciate you, Ashlyn. And we, of course, appreciate all of our wonderful listeners. Thank you so much for coming on this journey with us. It has indeed been a long road getting from there to here, but we finished it. And that means that we are going to the last episode of our finale series next week, which is going to be covering Star Trek Picard.
So I think this is called
The Last Generation.
This is the second TNG finale, official one.
It's more like third if we're talking about the movies, but yes.
Third or fourth. I mean, if you include this one.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
So very exciting. That will be such a wonderful discussion. Please join us. And also join us next week for our Discovery Last Days of Disco Farewell Tour, our podcast festival. We are very excited. I hope you listen along. And I hope that you all have a really good week. Get excited for Discovery. It's coming soon.
And whatever you do, don't let the Patox get you down.
Cheery. Thank you for listening to the Duras Sisters podcast. Please tune in next week for the fifth episode of our finale series, where Ashlyn and Rhianna will discuss all the wonderful finale moments in Picard's The Last Generation. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, and Twitter, and check to see our suggested watch list for our upcoming episodes. Also take a moment to check out our content on Tumblr, TikTok, YouTube, and our merch on Threadless. All links can be found in the bio of any of our social media pages. If you like what you heard today, please leave us a review on whatever platform you listen. By donating $1, $6, $12, or $23 per month, you can become a monthly patron and unlock our exclusive rewards for each tier. You can find all of this and more at patreon.com/the Duras Sisters Podcast. If you would like to contact us for any reason, please do so at theDurasSistersPodcast@gmail.com. These are a few of the podcast series we have covered: family, movies, and death fakeouts. If you haven't heard a particular series yet, please go back and listen to any of these episodes. Social media, marketing, and editing is done by me, Rhianna Hurd, and Ashlyn Gelman. And our intro and outro is by Jerry Goldsmith.
Jerry.
Jerry.
He's a Jerry.
Geriatric.